the author of the book here, we all know this passage in the first three verses of Hebrews 12 about running the race. Running the race. If we're not careful, we can just let running the race be nothing more than, you know, what a motivational speaker would give us about life. You know, attacking life with a positive attitude. And that's not what this is about. Run the race to win. You know, it's about more than tenacity. Being aggressive and carpe diem, seize the day. This is actually the argument of the whole book of Hebrews boiled down to a metaphor about a race. If you haven't been with us lately, I want to remind you, this letter, the book of Hebrews, was written to Jewish Christians who were on the cusp of turning away from Jesus and going back to Judaism, to the animal sacrifices, to the law. So the writer of the book of Hebrews, he gives strong warnings throughout the book, doesn't he? And he says, don't leave Christ and go back to Judaism. There's no salvation there apart from Christ. All of the law and the sacrifices were to point you to Jesus. And now we have something better than all the shadows and pictures. We have Christ. And so he's been giving us some examples of people who have kept the faith even when it was hard. The Hall of Heroes in chapter 11. All the heroes of the Old Testament who endured with faith in God. They weren't perfect. They fell down, but they got back up and they held on to faith in God because God was holding on to them. So out of that list of examples, the writer now explodes into chapter 12 with a call to us, a call to action. You've read about the faith of Moses and Abraham, and now you must take your place in the hall of the saints, people who have faith in the living God. You and I must take our place and run the race God has set before us. David and Samuel and the prophets that he mentioned in chapter 11, they've already run their race. And now you and I have a race set before us. We are called to hang on to Jesus even when it gets hard. When persecution comes, when it gets tough, we are to run this race. And so today we look at running the race. Let's read this together. Read with me the text. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, therefore, you see it's connected to chapter 11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That is the Word of God. Amen. It speaks to us today. God speaks to us through it. And so we look at running this race, and we see here that the writer of Hebrews is using a word picture, a metaphor, vivid imagery of a race. Maybe not the kind of race we think about today, but the kind of race that they ran back when this was written. We think of the early Olympic Games and other games like them. And we see that we're called to run this race. That, by the way, this is not an option for us. He doesn't say, you know, if you want to, you can run. If you want to really be a super Christian, you can really run this race hard for Jesus. But, you know, if you just want to get by, you can sit on the bench and watch your team. He doesn't say that. This is not an option. This is a command to run the race, to hold on to faith in Jesus. Now, I wonder if you noticed a word that was repeated in all three of those verses we read this morning. Verse 1 has it, verse 2 has it, verse 3 has it, which is a big indicator that lies at the heart of what God is saying to us here. It's the word endurance. Did you see it there in verse 1? It says, let us run with endurance. In verse 2, it said, Jesus endured the cross. And in verse 3, consider Him who endured such hostility. The book of Hebrews is a call to endure. God is going to put us in some tests. Life is going to get hard. We have an enemy, the devil, who hates us. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to eat up, the Bible says. But we who believe in Jesus are called to keep standing still, standing strong, running our race. If you look back in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he said this about endurance. Look at this. He says, this is chapter 10. I have the wrong verse up there. It's chapter 10, verse 36 to 39. He says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. He says, my righteous one shall live by faith. That's enduring in the faith. And if he shrinks back, if you quit, my soul has no pleasure in him, God says. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. In the book of Hebrews, you have shrinking back versus drawing near. And every one of us this morning, we're in the midst of one of those things. We're shrinking back from the Lord, or we're drawing near to the Lord. There's really no middle ground. We're either pushing in, we're growing in our walk, we're surrendering, we're repenting every day when God shows us fresh sins that He doesn't want around in our lives. We repent, we look to the cross, and when we fall down, we get back up. Or we're neglecting. Way back in chapter 2, he talks about drifting from this faith. And how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So it starts with spiritual laziness. We quit praying. We quit studying the Word. We quit looking to the Lord Jesus in worship every day. We quit praying with our spouse and our family. We quit telling others about Jesus at work, at school, in our neighborhood. And before long, we look just like our mission field. And we have a problem. That road ends in disaster. In spiritual disaster. And so we are called to endure. So we remember the serious warnings of the book of Hebrews that we've already come through. This is a life and death race with eternal consequences. A life and death race. All of the examples in chapter 11 of the men and women who have already run their race, they come crashing down in chapter 12 like a big tidal wave, a call to action. It says, it's your turn. It's our turn to run. Which race are we called to run in our text here this morning? I want to point out, run your race. Look what he says. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you see? When we were in chapter 11, we were looking at the heroes of faith. You remember the last several verses, there were men and women who won great victories through faith, and then there were men and women who suffered great suffering, torture. They were killed by the sword. All of that through faith. And we talked about God is in charge of the results. We don't choose God's path for us. He puts it in front of us and says, run. Trust me. I'll shine light for each step. I'll give you grace for each day's step. But you run the race I've set for you. We can't run our neighbor's race. We talked about this last week. Sometimes we get jealous of other Christians. Why aren't they called to suffer like I've been called? Or why do all their kids always obey and mine won't obey? And why does God use them and bless them and bring fruit in their ministry and not in mine? And we can look at other people instead of run the race that God has put in front of us. God is sovereign. The race He set before you has been ordained for you. You know, if God put your neighbor's race in front of you, it wouldn't work the work in your life that God wants it to work. God knows just what it'll take to make you look like Jesus. Amen? And so God will call you to certain kinds of tests and sufferings that He doesn't call me to. Vice versa. Why? Because He knows us. And so you're called to run the race that God has set in front of you. Not looking around at somebody else's race. So that's the heart of this passage this morning. It's a call to run with endurance the race God has set before us. But as we continue to read in our first three verses here, there's some encouragement to us. The writer here is just blessing us with encouragement to run. And I want to share some encouragement to run with you. First, there's two sources of encouragement in this passage. The first is the witnesses of chapter 11. He started out by saying, look, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And you guys have heard all the preachers say this before, but whenever you see a therefore in the text, what do? You look to see what it's there for, right? That's a cheesy little thing, but you'll remember it for the rest of your life, and it'll help you to remember a therefore is a connection. It's connecting. There's a context here. Therefore, since we just did chapter 11, since you just looked at all these heroes of the faith who suffered, but God gave them joy and strength to get through it, who won great victories through faith, therefore, we are surrounded by them. Do you see what he's doing? He's reaching into chapter 11 and taking all the heroes of faith, and he's dragging them into his race metaphor. Now, we have in our races today, we have sidelines. But in their day, they had an amphitheater. And they were surrounded by the witnesses. All right? And so the writer here, he's making a word picture. He's just taking David and Moses and Samuel and Abraham and Sarah and Rahab the prostitute and Abel and Enoch and Noah and all the guys that he's just been talking about. And he's drug them into the amphitheater. Can you picture maybe the Roman Colosseum? And you see those seats up there, the layers of seats. And you can picture Noah up there sitting in the seats watching us run, cheering us on, saying, hey, I've already survived my test. It's your turn now. Run the race. And you have Abraham up there saying, go, go, run. Now, you can't press a metaphor too hard when you're interpreting the Bible. You know, this is not a passage that talks about communing with the dead saints. This is not about praying to saints. It's a metaphor. It's an encouragement from the fact that someone else like me, who fails just like I fail, who's weak like I'm weak, they have already run their race and God gave them strength to do it. And they were able to persevere. And I know if you look at those guys, like I said, they're not perfect. But God used Noah. God used David, despite his sin with Bathsheba. You know, God used him and through him came the Messiah. God used Abraham. You know, despite when he went down to Egypt and he said to his wife, let's tell a lie that you're my sister or they're going to kill me because you're so beautiful. The king's going to scoop you right up. You know, there are lapses of judgment. There are failures. The Bible doesn't hide the failures of the people in it, but shows us the work of grace in imperfect people. Guys, the picture that the writer is painting for us this morning is one of encouragement, that I don't have to run this race alone. I'm not the only one who's ever been asked to do something hard for the Lord. God has set something before you, a test, a struggle, but He also, I mean, just read the Old Testament, right? These guys had tests. Book of Job, right? He set some things before them and they ran their race. And so the writer wants us to think about them as just encircling us. Saying, you know what? With God's strength, we finished our race and now it's your turn. This is an encouraging thought for us. He calls them a great cloud of witnesses. We don't use the word cloud this way anymore, but from my study, and I, you know, this is classically the word cloud just refers to a large group. And so he's saying there's this huge multitude of faithful men and women who are surrounding us. They were witnesses to the Lord, and now they are witnesses, so to speak, in this picture of us as we run. So we find encouragement from the saints who have gone before us. I told you last week that the Bible is a treasure of encouragement. We do ourselves a great injustice when we let our Bible sit on the shelf and we don't read it. I said last week, how dare we say that we're discouraged when we haven't opened up the Word of God that He gave us to encourage us? You know, go there first. Romans 15, Paul said these things in the Old Testament were written for our encouragement. So blow the dust off Noah's ark, man. Read it. And see God saving someone from His righteous judgment, even as He punished the wicked. Right? Read about these things. David in the cave. I was talking to a brother this week, just imagining David running from Saul, and he's in the cave hiding, running for his life. He's praying to God and singing songs to God that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Later he wrote them down. We have them. One of the sisters this morning has already read one of them that God used to encourage her this week. Praise God. You see, God, these things encourage us as we remember. But the greatest source of encouragement in our passage this morning is not the heroes of faith in chapter 11. It's Jesus Himself. The writer here speaks for two verses about being encouraged by Jesus as we run the race. First, He tells us to be looking at Christ. He says there, let us run looking to Jesus. I want us just to consider that for a moment. Sometimes the problem with us is that we're looking at everything in the world but Jesus. Would you admit to that? Sadly? Now, I'm not a runner. You know, we could talk to Stormy this morning. She could help us out a little bit about the mechanics of running. But I do know this. You're not going to do very well when you're running a race if you're looking all around. Right? You're looking at the guy that's coming up on the side of you. You're looking over here. You're looking up in the stands. Hey, what's up? You're not going to finish well. You're going to trip. You're going to fall down. You're going to veer off course. When runners run with their eyes locked ahead on the finish line, on the prize, on the goal. Right? That's what this is calling us to do. Jesus is the finish line. Jesus is the goal. He's the reward. He's the treasure. He's the source of encouragement as we run. He's the source of joy as we go through hard times. Amen? He's the source of our perseverance when we struggle and suffer. Jesus. Now our problem is, we look away from Jesus at our problems, at our failures, at our enemies, at the weaknesses of other people, with judgmental attitudes. And we can't run well for the Lord when our eyes are not on Jesus. The Bible gives us a couple of things here to lock our gaze on about Jesus. First, it says that He's the founder and He's the perfecter of our faith. Or as Revelation 22:13 says, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher, the founder, the perfecter. What does this mean? It means that Jesus is the start of our faith. We wouldn't even have faith if He had not birthed it in us. And so we can be confident, as Philippians 1:6 says, that He who started the work in us will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? God will not start a work of grace in us, chosen us before the foundation of the world, sent Christ to die for us, and now, nope, I'm going to give up on you. No, sir. No, ma'am. He's going to stop, finish what He started in you and I. He is not only the author and the source of our faith, He is the sustainer of our faith every day. That means that every day as we go through our struggles, He is sustaining us. I mean, what did Hebrews say at the beginning of the letter? In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, it says He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And He's got you and I as we run this race. Amen? Come on, get encouraged this morning. I know you don't want to. I know it feels good to be discouraged and depressed and sad. But the Word of God wants to fire us up to run a race. And by the way, I'm not just talking about a little cheerleader, you know, hey, you'll psych yourself up and then go out there and get sad again. But get yourself something that's going to stay with you when you leave here. Amen? Christ is not going anywhere. Look at Him and be transformed in the assembly of the saints this morning. Amen? And so we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It was the Lord who birthed us to life. It is the Lord who sustains us and holds us up each moment, each day, each step in the race. And it will be the Lord who will perfect us at the last day. So our hope is in Christ from start to finish. Paul says in Romans 11:36, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory. Amen." He's the founder, the beginning, the sustainer as it continues. And He's the one who wraps it up. Now the word that the ESV translates founder, some of you have author in your Bible there. The word means author, it means initiator. And it can mean even a pioneer or a forerunner. It can mean somebody who goes before so that we follow in the path that they blaze for us. And David Allen, the commentator, he said that he sees that going on here, that Christ has gone before us in the race. And so as we run, we're just going behind our trailblazer. Does that make sense? Or as Hebrews has already said back in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says that Jesus is the forerunner who went behind the curtain into the presence of God so that we are now welcome into the presence of God. He's the forerunner. He's the pioneer who's gone before us. And so that is an encouragement to us. But the second part of the encouragement here about Jesus is the fact that not only has He started and He'll finish our faith, but He endured the cross. Listen, Jesus is not only our salvation. He is our example of how to endure suffering. Jesus says, "For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame of it," right? "And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Now we fix our eyes on the glory of Jesus' person, the founder, perfecter of our faith. But we also fix our eyes on His work for us at the cross. I want to encourage you. Listen, you need some stuff in your toolbox as a Christian, as a disciple. Here's a great tool for you to open up your toolbox and get out every day as you live. You need to focus on the person and the work of Jesus. I want to encourage you to spend some time quiet in the presence of the Lord with the Scriptures and think, fill your mind with the truths of who Jesus is and what He has done. That will encourage your soul as you run this race. If you feel faint-hearted, if you feel like giving up, the answer is to come to Jesus. You know, a lot of times we quit running for Jesus because we have taken our eyes off Jesus and we've looked at something else. Right? A lot of people will give up running for Jesus in a local church. You know, maybe they used to be running hard for the Lord, serving the church, you know, fulfilling whatever the gift of the Spirit is that God has given them, or the chores that the church shares together, and now sitting on the bench. Why? A lot of times it's because we put our eyes on people and not Jesus, and people will let us down every time. But people didn't die for us on the cross and rise again. Amen? Paul, when he's writing Corinthians, he says, you know, their big error is they're making too much of their different preachers. And the church is dividing over their favorite ministers. And they're saying, well, this team over here, we like Paul. And these guys over here, no, it's Apollos, man. He can really preach. He can throw down. He's a beast. Apollos can speak well. Paul, he kind of trips over his words. And these guys are, no, we like Peter, man. He's the first apostle, the leader, you know. And these guys, well, we like Jesus, you know, because they're the super spiritual ones, right? They really don't, but they're just Jesus juking everybody else. And so, what does Paul say? He blasts this church for dividing over their leaders, and he says, "How are you gonna say you're of Paul? Was Paul crucified for you?" He asked them that question. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Then he thinks back and he says, I'm glad when I was there, I didn't personally baptize lots of you guys. I mean, I baptized a few, these guys over here. But I'm glad I wasn't the one that dunked a lot of you in the water, or you'd be saying we're disciples of Paul. The point is this. A lot of times if you're upset at the church, it's because you've taken your eyes off Jesus and you've been watching people who have let you down and you can't get past that. And so what is God's Word calling us to do today? He's saying to put our eyes on Jesus, man, and run the race for Him. We will all be let down by people, right? Any church you find is going to let you down. But we're here. You know, there's a sense in which we're here for each other. Don't take what I'm saying and take it too far. What I mean is, ultimately, we're not here for each other, right? We're not singing songs about each other this morning, right? It's about Jesus. And He's worthy of me to run the race for Him with all my heart, no matter if people let me down or not. Amen? I mean, good gracious, if you're the last one standing in a local church that's faithful, keep running! If everybody walks away from Jesus, if everybody messes up, if everybody hurts your feelings, if everybody, does wrong, you keep doing right. Amen? We're doing this for the Lord. Our eyes are on Him. He's the one at the finish line, right? He's still worthy of our best. And He's saying that to us in His Word this morning. Run the race with endurance. Jesus is our example. He endured the cross. What a thing! He endured the cross. The Father set a race in front of Jesus. It was a path of suffering. Ultimate suffering. And Jesus did the Father's will. He ran His race, didn't He? He endured the cross. Not just the physical pain of the nails. Not just the thorns coming into His head. But He endured the mental and the emotional agony and the spiritual pain of being separated from the Father for the first time in eternity. He felt like a sinner when God put our sins on Him. And the Father judged Him in our place. The Bible says that the sky grew dark. The Father has turned away from Him because of us. And Jesus felt yucky. How do you feel when you sin? Yucky. In your heart, slimy, guilty, dirty, faithless, miserable. And Jesus felt the shame of what you and I have done, even though He was sinless. Galatians 3:13 says He became a curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin. So God treated Him as a sinner when He stood in our place as our substitute on the cross. Church, if you keep that in your mind, you can run this race for Him. But Jesus did. Amen? Jesus endured the cross. When your eyes get off of Him, when's the last time you just sat in His presence and thought about the cross? When is the last time you cried? Now, not everybody's a crier, I know that. But when is the last time we were broken, moved, that Christ would take our place? Oh man, we have drifted from this. And our eyes get on other people and other things and this and that and doctrines and all the things that we, some even good things, but they're not Christ. And we can get discouraged. And we were running the race well, and now we're just kind of jogging, right? Are you jogging? Some of us, maybe you just stopped in the middle of the track. And you're looking over here. And you can't hear what everybody in the stands are saying, but they're saying, turn around, look at Jesus, and keep running. Some of you may be backing up. I don't know. What does God want us to do about it this morning? Right? Not only does He say that we're encouraged by looking to Jesus, it says we're encouraged by considering Jesus. The deadlocked gaze of our eyes are fixed on Christ, but our heart is meditating on Him and what He's done. Do you see the difference? The word consider is a word that popped up in chapter 11 two times. Considering. Look at chapter 11, verse 19. By faith here, Abraham, it says he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, Isaac his son. So by faith, Abraham considered, he thought about what God could do. When is the last time you just got still and you thought about God and you put the thoughts of Scripture into your mind and focused on it, meditated on truth? Too often we're thinking about stuff that doesn't matter, right? I'm never going to be able to do this, and how can I get this done this week, and da-da-da-da-da. Focus on Him. Consider Him. And then in verse 26 of chapter 11, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He considered things differently because he had faith. Look to Christ and then consider Christ. It means to think deeply and often about the Lord. All right, I got to move on. Let's get to the last point of our passage this morning. It's a call to run. It's encouragement to run. But goodness gracious, we got to deal with these commands here as preparation to run. This passage makes some demands of us. This race is costly. It is costly to be a disciple of Jesus. We must make preparation so that we run well and so that we will not drop out of the race and be disqualified on the last day. What are the two preparations to run that we find in this passage this morning? What are the two commands of this Scripture that call us to take action this morning to run the race? First of all, to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Man, as I was praying this week, this was thundering in my spirit. I believe God is speaking this to you and I this morning. We are called, He says in verse 1, let us also lay aside every weight. So going back to this metaphor of the race, this means getting rid of all hindrances to our running well for the Lord. Amen? In the day that Hebrews was written, do you know how runners would run in the games? They would be announced, they would come in a big robe, and then when it was time to run, what'd they do? They took the robe off and they ran naked. Now, that's a little different for us in our culture. A little shocking to some, perhaps. It's aerodynamic, man. That's getting rid of all the hindrances. And the runners would take this so seriously that they would train and they would lose weight before the race. So they're getting rid of excess body weight. And then right before the race, man, they're taking off everything and they're running to win. Everything that would slow them down has to go. Now imagine with me in this metaphor of the race here how ridiculous it would be if a runner showed up and he's got blue jeans on, right? Combat boots, sweater, you know, turtleneck, big long trench coat, a few hats, and a big metal chain around his waist or his chest, dragging a few 100-pound weights. And he says, I'm ready to run. You know, is that ridiculous? Is that insane? Would anyone ever run like that? Can you imagine? You know, everybody's blown by you. They've lapped you 10 times. And here you are and you're dragging your weights. And you're sweating to death. Man, I don't know why. I feel discouraged. Hello, right? Everybody's in the stands going, take off the weights. Again, I'm not a professional runner. You're going to get discouraged. And I wouldn't be surprised if that guy quits halfway, you know, if he makes it that far. That is a ridiculous image. But listen to me, brothers and sisters. No doubt there are some among us this morning running this spiritual race just like that. And if we could see with God's eyes, we would see baggage, wouldn't we? We would see weights. We could take all day to name what some of those weights could be. You know, it doesn't have to be something bad. He's about to talk about sin in a minute. First, he says weights. Paul's writing to the Corinthians about their spiritual freedoms. He says, yeah, everything's permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Some things will slow us down. They may not be a sin, but you can't run well for Jesus and do that thing. And I'm not going to tell you what things you can do. You got to pray about it. Amen? You got to get with the Holy Spirit on that one. But I will say this. There are things, I mean, let's list some that we could have. Fear. You think it's possible that anybody among us this morning has some fears that are crippling them and they can't run well for Jesus because they're afraid? Is that within the realm of possibility this morning? In this long distance race, what else? Doubts that we haven't prayed through. Addictions. You think an addiction will slow you down running for Jesus? Discourage you and cause you to drop out from running the race? Yes, absolutely. You got addictions? How are you going to run for Jesus if you don't do something about that addiction? This is a call to action. Not check it off your list. Hey, I went to church. Yay. Good for me. What? No, no. You're hearing God's Word. God is speaking to you and I right now. He says, therefore, let us run. Let us lay aside the weights. And so each one of us this morning are face to face with the Lord and we got a choice to make. I'm going to keep my weights. I like my weights. I've named them. Or I will admit and confess that God is right. I can't run for Jesus. I can't do this thing for Him. He went all the way for me and I'm playing games with Him. And I'm going to repent today and lay aside some weights. Distractions. Do you have any distractions in your life that are possibly slowing you down from running for Jesus? Phones, anyone? Screens of any shape and size that hook up to the internet and take you away from Jesus for a little while. John Piper said something to the effect of, I think he said Facebook will be on the day of judgment used by God to show us how much prayer time we really did have and just didn't use. Man, are you cut off from your family and your whole family is waiting for you to be present with them and your phone has got you cut off from them? Some of you, I mean, I would ask you, are you addicted to your phone? Between you and the Lord right now. If you don't think you are, let me give you a tip. Ask your spouse if you have a phone problem. Or this might hurt even more. Ask your kids if you have a problem with your phone. Jesus died on the cross for us, brothers and sisters. He calls us to run this race for Him. And we want to look at videos of cats. That's funny and that's sad, isn't it? You know, ha-ha, LOL, like. You know, this stuff can have a place in our lives. But are we running for Jesus? Or have we missed it? Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? I'm not saying your phone is a sin. Some of us, it might be. And we need to be serious about that. What else? Laziness, just, you know, neglecting the salvation that we have, drifting. What about hurts and grudges and offenses? Do you think that could weigh anybody down in the church from running for Jesus? But they hurt me. I know it. I'm sorry. But we have a healer. Amen? You know, this is not the Optimist Club. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a Savior. We have a healer. This is not a social experiment. This is salvation here. We have a Savior. If you've been hurt, take it to the healer and get healed and then run the race. Amen? What about an offense? They did this to me. I'm angry. I've got a grudge. I'm sorry that they did that to you. The Lord says to forgive. Take it to the Lord. Take it to them. Get it right. And then run the race. We're letting these things weigh us down. And a lot of times they just become excuses. Man, the writer of Hebrews, one commentator says, this guy, he's writing to these Christians who used to be running well and now they're slowing down. And he's so concerned about them that he wrote the book of Hebrews. But that applies to every believer in every age. And I'm not thinking of anyone specifically in this place this morning, but I want the Lord God Almighty to search our hearts and to come and deal with us because He's worthy of our all. Do you believe that or do you not? He's worthy of your all. And if you're letting weights and distractions and things keep you from giving Him what is worthy, that is a great sin. And I'm calling you as gently as I can, but as urgently as I can, deal with those things now, before it's too late, before they just become entrenched in you. I don't know how many chances God's going to give you. I don't know how many warnings are going to come, but the warnings in Hebrews are serious. Lay these things down and get up and run the race. Sometimes it's our hobbies. Sometimes it's a pursuit of the pleasures of this world. Things like money and power, when we give them too much of a place in our life, they weigh us down. Excuses. I'll run for the Lord when this happens, we say. When my spouse gets their stuff together, then I'll run for the Lord. When that person who did that to me, when they come and make it right with me, then I'll run for the Lord. And God says in His Word today, no, put your eyes on Jesus and you run for the Lord. If it's impossible with you, live at peace with all men, it says. As much as you can do, get it right. Do you remember the story that Jesus told? I think it's in Luke. Where He says, if you're going to offer an offering and worship at the altar, and while you're there, you remember that you have an offense against someone, what does He say to do? Finish your church service and then go get it right later. No. He says you get up right now and you leave church and you go hunt down that brother or sister and get it right and then go worship. It's so important because it will become a root of bitterness that will drive us from the Lord. Has that happened to you? Man, God is calling you to get it right today. We don't have tomorrow. We don't know, do we? Here we are in the presence of God. What will you say to Him this morning? Bring that thing to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. This has become a weight for me. This is keeping me from doing what You called me to do. I know it's dragging me down and I want to run because You are worthy. Because You died for me on the cross. Not only do we lay aside the weights, but we lay aside entangling sin. The ESV says the sin which clings so closely. There in the Greek it means constricting, controlling tightly, obstructing, ensnaring. It entangles you and trips you up when you're trying to run the race. Imagine someone trying to run the race with a boa constrictor wrapped around them, tightening against them. You're not going to get far. That is what sin does in our life. You can't play with sin. You can't flirt with sin. You can't control sin or manage your sin. Jesus died for our sin. He hates it, and He commands you and I to throw it away. That's the only answer for it. Repent of it. Turn away from it. You can't run this race with sin clinging closely. Throw it away. You can't be faithful to the Lord and let pornography have a place in your life. Can I say that? Get rid of it. You will not run this race tangled up with pornography or getting drunk or cheating on your taxes or gossiping about people or flirting with someone at work if you're married. God is calling us out of the putrid filth of this world and the deception of our own hearts to faith in Christ that endures to the end. What a passage. Run the race. What do you have to lay down this morning? Maybe the Lord's not calling you to, you know, showing you anything to lay down, but maybe your eyes have just kind of drifted off Jesus and He's saying, lock your gaze back on me and run this race. And you know, running the race for some of you, it might be being called into a ministry or missions, you know, or some of us, it might just be living for Jesus with fire. That's running the race. Doing your part in your family and in the church. I know it's not God's will for us to lazily serve Him, to do nothing while others do it all. I know that's not the will of God in the body. We are a body. And we're members of one another. We need to pray for one another daily that God would help us lay aside the weights and the sin which tangles us up. We need to help each other lay aside weights when they come to us. Amen? Instead of judging them with it, looking, you know, condescendingly to them. I want to encourage you as a part of our men's and women's ministry. It's coming up this week. This is an opportunity for men to come together, ask for help from the other brothers. I've got some weights. Help me out, brothers. Ladies, on Friday night, sisters, I've got some weights. I've got some sins. Pray for me. I guarantee you no one in that meeting is going to make fun of you and laugh at you and punch you in the mouth. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to pray for you. Or maybe you just want to call a sister or a brother one-on-one. It's a private thing. And say, hey, pray with me. Help me. I want to run the race for Jesus. I want to quit waiting on this other person to get their stuff right before I run for Jesus. He calls me to run for Him now. No excuses. Right? I'm not saying, you know, tough up, get over it. I'm saying bring it to the Lord and deal with that thing. We have a solution. We have a Savior. Amen. So I don't know what you and I need to do this morning, but here's what I felt the Lord leading me to do this week. We're instead of communion time this morning, I want to have a prayer time this morning. All right? And you may have a lot of kids with you, or you may have, it might be difficult, but I want us to take just a moment. I want to invite TJ to come and play some hymns or worship on songs on the piano. And I would like us to just have a few moments here where we sit and soak up what God has spoken in His Word to us. We want to respond to the Word of God that we've heard. And I also want to encourage you, maybe as a family or as a couple, if you want to go find you a spot in this auditorium somewhere, maybe down here at the front. I mean, this is not a more holy place. But you can come and just get together and say, how do we as a family need to run this race? What is God calling us to do? Or just take your wife and say, you know, we'll talk about the specifics later, but would you just pray with me right now? It's called being real, isn't it? Grab your husband, say, I just want you to come pray with me. Let's go find a spot. We want to get right with the Lord. We want our marriage to be running for Jesus together. We want our family to be running this race together. Or as an individual, as a young person, we'll find you a spot. We want to respond to God's Word. We want to take action based on faith in Jesus Christ. God is present with us now in the power of His Spirit to help us repent of sin and obey God's will in faith. So Father, I want to thank You for this time. I want to ask You to come and move in this place and lead each one of us, Lord. I know that there's things that we need to get right. Father, we want to be a church that's running this race with all that we have, Lord, all the strength that you give us. Father, we confess today that there are weights and sins that would bog us down, and we don't want to run from them, but we want to confess today. We don't want to put it off for one more day. We want to say, today, this gets right. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here and they're struggling with the guilt of sin, God, that they would see right now that Jesus Christ died for that sin and He bled for it. And God, that you're not wanting to judge them for it. You want to forgive them for it. You want to wash and cleanse and welcome us into your family. You want to help us get back up and run the race. So Father, would you let your Spirit move right now? Do what is necessary in each of us. Lord, I pray that if there are those with weights and sins, that you would not let us be able to continue another day with that thing. I pray that it would bother us. That we wouldn't be able to sleep till we get it right. God, that you would lead us towards this spiritual healthiness in Christ. Uproot bitterness, grudges, and hurts, and sins. Put your thumb, Holy Spirit, on these things in our lives that have taken over. These addictions, distractions, laziness, and the things of God. Help us run this race. All right, brothers and sisters, take a few moments.